This podcast is brought to you by Church of Living Waters. Find out more information at colw.info. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Amen. Now you just continue that. That kind of left us hanging, didn't it? What's going to happen to that land? The Lord's going to continue to show you. Just want to bring attention. I know that we've focused a little bit more in worship today, so I see the time. If you don't see it back there, there's a clock that looks at me. I want to bring attention this morning to a word that's been given to Church of Living Waters over a period of time. I have many in books that have been written of words. The church is in existence for 40 years. And many, many things that are in these books have, we can say, these things have happened. We are flowing in those things now. But a word that the Lord is showing us, and it's been spoken into this body, I just want you to hear it. Some of you have already heard it. I want you to receive it, and I want you to start believing in it. Let me just read it to you. This is the Lord. I have opened up a door that no man can shut. This is my door. I have opened this door. It's the door that I've created and opened for you. No man is in control of this door. My blessings will flow to you and through you. My blessings will flow in you and through you. It's a blessing of the springs of living water, so it will flow out into the streets where the dry and the thirsty are, the hopeless, the prisoners, the hurting, and the captives are. This spring will flow that my church will be a representation that I want it to be. The face of Jesus Christ, the face of the Lord himself, the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ. I want to bring that this morning to you as it's been spoken unto this body, that this is the body that God's created. This is the body that he's speaking, that we will be like the songs have said, like the prophecies have been spoken this morning, that we will be and that we will do. Amen. And we will not go out and do and not be. That we will be, yes, sons of God. Praise the Lord. That's a gift that he's given us that no man can earn, that no man can righteously feel that they've earned that. That's been all freely given to us. Amen. And I praise the Lord that a demonstration of his power is going to be amongst the people here at Church of the Living Waters. And we will come and we will receive, amen, and we will press forward, but we will not only receive, we will take it out with us, and we will be a representation of Jesus Christ. We will be his face. We will be his hands. We will be his feet, and we will go out into the world, into places that many will not go to. We will go out and we will offer hope in a hopeless situation. We will go out, come on, is anybody with me today? And God is calling every one of us. Last night, me and my wife had the opportunity of coming, and I just went over these chairs, and I just laid hands on the chairs. Every chair in this place is important to God. You are sitting in a chair, and I'm telling you, some of you are sitting in chairs that people had sat in that have done great and mighty things in God's kingdom. Man, many of them are ahead of us. Some of them are in heaven. Some are preaching all over the world. Some are leading mission organizations. But they've sat in these chairs. The same ones. And you know, as I'm just talking about these chairs, the Lord has spoken to me, son, you're going to have to buy more chairs. And you know, I'm not about buying chairs when we have chairs. Amen. Let's keep them nice. But there's something about these chairs. You know, LaDavid, right where you're sitting, many years, my dad sat right there. And this is a mighty man of God. And he sat in that same chair. And the Lord used him and used him mightily in over 40 different countries in the world, planted churches all over. Amen. You're sitting in that chair. And as Tuan said, that same seed of Jesus Christ is on the inside of you. Just want to bring encouragement today to the body of what God is saying. We had the opportunity last week to go see my son in San Diego. The thing that I learned about this is that we will never drive again. This is a long drive, people. And you know, and when you tell people you're going to drive it, the ones that have already done it, they'll tell you that, and you think, oh, it's nothing. We got it, you know. Oh, my goodness. It was a long drive. The whole time you think, how many hours does it take to fly to San Diego? Three? 3 hours? Sometimes you can get $69 one way. We had the opportunity, though, coming back to drive by a home where my wife was born in Indigo, California, right next to Palm Springs. Boy, I didn't know I had a California lady. Man, she's from Palm Springs, you know. I'm thinking, man, the date capital of the world right there. We got to go and see it, you know, drive. We had the address, and she was excited, you know. I don't know about you, but I have a favorite home. And you know, so she goes, and she gets out. We take a picture, and she's a little more excited than we are. We're excited for her. But see, we've never even stepped foot in that home. She used to live in that home. That was my home. That's where my mom and dad were. And you know where I'm at with this. I remember my favorite home, and it wasn't the biggest home that we had. It wasn't the most nicest home. It was a home that I loved because I had some secret hideouts in my home. And man, it was hard for me to find. It was a home that you could get underneath. It didn't have a slab. You could go underneath it, you know, and as soon as I saw that snake underneath it, I jumped out of there and never went back, you know. Boy, it was a time where I had some good friends that lived across the street from me. And man, we just walked out every day, and man, we played. We were in a small city. We can do all kinds of things. That's my favorite home. Anybody have a favorite home? You know, I'm going to show you this morning God's favorite house. Do you know he has a favorite house? He has a favorite home? Just like we. And the reason why we know this is because when he comes back, he's going to restore this home back to where it used to be. And you know, as we just look at a few scriptures this morning, Acts chapter 15, verse 16, when I'm thinking about this, the word says this. It says, after this, I will return and rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins, and I will set it up. You know, he didn't come and he didn't say, I'm going to rebuild the tabernacle of Abraham. He didn't, the of Moses. Man, these areas of time were mighty. Why is he going to rebuild the tabernacle of David? Why is that such a focus on him, of David? We can look at David. We know that David had a heart after God. We know that David was a worshiper. But do we really know the heart of David? Do we really know what God is coming back and very firstly going to restore back, this favorite house? This morning we had a little bit of extended worship time. Church, we have to get used to that. Because there's going to be times that we're not going to stop. I am for the word, always. The word's going to come. But we might have some extended times of worship. Yesterday, I met a man, and I know the man very well. His name's Sam. I met him at Lowe's. You know, looked up at him and knew right away. I know a few months ago, he lost his wife to a very tragic death. And as I went to him, you know, he's a worker. He's a hardworking man. We talk a little bit about work, you know, the Texans play today, whatever, that kind of stuff as we talk. But I looked into his eyes and I said, Sam, I want you to know me and my wife have been praying for you. And just right away, big tears start rolling down his eyes. And, you know, as I just was able to speak into him, and he knows the tragedies that we've been in, he knows these things. But I looked at him and thinking even about Philip, I can't even comprehend how it would be to lose half of me. When me and my wife came together, we became one. And as I looked at Sam, I said, Sam, I don't understand. I can't comprehend where you are, but I know who's here with us. And the reason why I'm saying this is because really it was nothing that I was going to tell Sam yesterday. It was not a real scripture that I was going to read to him. It was not a song that I was going to sing to him. What touched his heart yesterday was God's presence. We have to hear this. What touched his heart was the presence of God that came out of me and touched Sam. I put my hand on his shoulder. And I said, Sam, I remember a time in my life where I felt weak, where I felt there was no way I was going to get up, where I felt nothing was going to happen. And a man of God came and he touched me. And I felt his faith. And I said, God, give me that faith. See, I'm speaking into Sam, exactly where Sam is right now. Him not feeling like he's going to be able to make it. Him trying to just do all of this stuff, being only half. And I looked at him and I said, man, God is here. And he's going to be, you know what he asked me? He said, can I come to your house? See, what was he hungry for? He wasn't hungry for coffee. He wasn't hungry for a meal. He was hungry for the presence of God. He was seeking that presence. See, there's not a medication. There's not anything. There's not nothing that can make you feel as the presence of God makes you feel. And I'm here to tell you that God is coming back in Acts chapter 15, verse 16, to restore the tabernacle of David. Come on. And the reason why is because David knew the heart of God, the heart of worship. See, David, in his life, he was going after what? The Ark of the Covenant. And he wasn't going after the Ark of the Covenant because there was gold in there. He had the gold already. He wasn't going after it because it was just something to do. He knew that there was a great cost. He lost many people trying to go get it. He knew what was it represented. It represented the presence of God. Come on. And he knew that he was going to go after the presence of God. This church, I praise the Lord, for 40 years, the presence of the Lord has rested here. Did you feel it this morning? Do you feel it now? See, it's not something we can turn on or turn off. It's something that we must receive. Why was some people feeling it and some people weren't? I'll never forget sitting in a roll and just this lady's just jumping up and down and God is moving in her life. This man, he's on his knees crying and I don't feel anything. My focus was too much on him and on him. My focus was too much on me and not on the one. We have to see because we are not going to wait for God to restore this. We're not waiting for God, Jesus, to come back and for it to be restored. We are passionately seeking God's presence. I am a passion man seeking his presence. My heart is burning for him. I need him. I desire him. I want him more than anything. And he's here. See, I'm not seeking something I can't find. I'm not seeking something I can't receive. He's here freely willing to give to me his presence. And it's all available to me. And I won't let him pass me by. As we look at David, if the passion of David's heart can be restored, then God himself will assist in rebuilding the process of the tabernacle, the dwelling place of God. The reason why I know this is because he said so himself. He said that he was going to rebuild this. David's makeshift shelter barely qualifies as a tabernacle when it's compared to the tabernacle of Moses, and certainly when it's compared to Solomon's temple. It amounted to little more than just a tarp stretched over some tent poles to shield the ark from the sun and the elements. Yet God said, I'm going to rebuild that one. The impressive things to God is not about buildings. We know that. See, we feel that buildings impress him. We feel that these things impress him. If that's what impressed him, he would have went to Solomon's temple and said, I'm going to rebuild this one. What impresses God is the heart seeking after God. What impresses God is the heart that, God, all of these things have happened to me. And I don't understand many of them, but I'm still going to worship you. God, I lost my mom to murder. And I don't know really the reason why. I know there's sin. I know, God, I should have been But all of those things are going to be beside me. I'm still going to worship you. I'm not just going to halfway worship you. I'm going to worship you with all of my heart, even though I don't know the answer, even though I don't know all the situations, even though I don't know all the circumstances. I know, just like Philip said, you are good and you're a good God and you deserve my worship today. You deserve everything I have to give. You deserve it today, God, and I'm going to give it to you. I'm not going to let a rock cry out louder than me. I'm not going to let someone else out worship me, God, because you're too good. See, the heart, the passion of David, restoring his temple, restoring what God is doing, the art of his presence here amongst us. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful that God is here. See, it's in his presence that we are healed. It's in his presence we're set free. I don't know about you, but it's been in this church. And I praise the Lord for many other churches. I praise the Lord for many, many other pastors. We're on the same team. The enemy says that we're not on the same team. The enemy wants us to say, we're better than you. We're greater. No, 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 no. He's our God. He's our Father. And we're on the same team. As Calvary Baptist succeeds, Church of Living Waters succeeds. Come on. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? As Arbor Glen succeeds, Church of Living Waters succeeds. We're not going to get into a war of we're better than you. The only one that's better is God. He's restoring this temple. He's going to restore it here in this ministry. As we come today and we worship, we're going to see some different things of worship. The Lord's just showing me in the Spirit. I got to see a man's choir on Christmas Eve. Come on. I saw it. I saw it. Boy, and I didn't even know we had these things already set up for a choir. Well, those have just been in storage, huh? I bought them. Oh, wow. Guess what I see? I see that there are people in this congregation that love to sing, that's going to be on a choir. Come on. I see this place worshiping Lord, the Lord, so passionately that his presence is going to fall. And it's going to fall every time we lift up his name. And in his presence that falls, come on, there's healing. See, the day that I lost my brother to suicide, very difficult. Happened on a Thursday, and Sunday's coming. What do I do? Philip knows what we do. I go to church because that's my family. That's my home. And I sat right in those seats over there knowing that a funeral was coming. But I could not worship my God because he's good, because he's healed me, because he's set me free. Yes, my circumstances don't look too good right now. What I'm viewing is very difficult, but he's not left me alone in it. And I didn't go to a counselor and I didn't go to, no, I went to what? His presence. I lost my mom and my sister. They were murdered. I wasn't running out to seek a counselor. I am for counseling. I'm not against it. But I had to find the counselor. And I was set out in the house of prayer. I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know if I'd ever preach again. I didn't know. And I said, God, I have to find you right here. And many days I was there for hours, and many days I was there for days. And I said, I'm not going to move until I find you, God. I don't understand what happened. I don't understand why this has happened. All of the situations too much. But God, I'm going to find you. I'm going to find you. How many of you have that in you? I'm going to find you. I'm going to find you. See, he's not hard to find. I'm going to find you. I'm not going to let you pass me by. I'm not going to be blind like blind Bartimaeus. I'm not going to be blind. I'm going to push through the crowd and I'm going to touch you. You're not going to walk past my street. You're not going to walk past my town, and I'm not going to see you because I'm seeking you right now. I'm seeking, and guess what? I will find. He's going to restore the temple back of passionate worship. Praise the Lord for a move of worship like we've never seen the last 20 years. The Lelands and these guys that have been passionate, Bethel, and these worshipers that we get to sing all of the anointed songs that have come. Praise the Lord for the Crystals and the Blakes and all of these people that we get to benefit and worship. But a new song is coming. And it's going to come from within you. See, I'm not a Crystal and I'm not a Blake. If I would start singing right now, some of you would fall to your knees. So I understand my giftings and what I don't, but I'm telling you right now, I have a song in my heart. And no one can stop my song. And boy, my kids know when I get in that shower, hot water comes on. Maybe I'm going to get ready to sing it now. Something's happening in my throat. But I sing in my song. And it's a song from heaven. And that song, things change in my life. Healing happens in my life. Because see, it's not just my song. It's a song from heaven that he's placed in my heart. It's a song like David had. It's a song of passionate pursuit after his presence. I will find you. I will not let you pass me up. I will meet you. Just want to look just at some scripture. Mark chapter 10. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. Verse 46. I'm going to look just at a story just real quickly. They came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples, a large crowd of Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting on by the road. Thank you. Verse 47, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many warned him to keep quiet, but he was crying out all the more, "Have mercy on me, Son of David." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man and said to him, "Have courage, get up, he's calling for you." He threw off his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. Then Jesus answered him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "I want to see." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has saved you." Immediately he could see and begin to follow Jesus on the road. Bartimaeus couldn't see Jesus for himself. Frankly, we all need to be baptized with the spirit of Bartimaeus. Come on. This is the blind man who ignored the disapproval of the crowd to cry out to Jesus for mercy. Bartimaeus couldn't see Jesus for himself. He was a blind and had to believe in blind faith, the testimony of someone else who told him. Jesus is close. I can just picture Bartimaeus. "You just tell me when he gets close. I can't see him. You just tell me. If you could just tell me when he gets close." He was blind and had to believe in blind faith, the testimony of someone else who told him, "Jesus is close." We must confess, "I'm blind and I can't really tell how close he is." But if somebody around me says he's near, then I refuse to let him pass me by. So many times I've said in church, and my wife has just met the presence of the Lord, and I've just sat there and thought, "Where are you? I don't feel you. I desire you. How many of you have ever been there? How many of you have ever been like blind Bartimaeus? And so, see, I just started to blind faith. Oh, when my wife starts feeling God's presence, oh, it's here. Oh, when the worship team, boy, I know something. Boy, when Crystal starts having a tear roll down her eyes, get ready. The presence of God is rushing in. It's just, see, not always can I feel it, not always. But see, I'm going to believe by faith, blind, that I'm not going to miss it. It's not passing me by. And so that if it's here, I'm going to grab it. Bartimaeus had to. Sometimes the cares of the day and the weariness of this life can temporarily blind us and numb of our senses that can't perceive the nearness of God. And that's what I saw in a brother named Sam yesterday. The loss of his wife has kind of numbed him. And it's kind of closed his eyes. He was talking to me about how hard it is to raise his kids. He's been out, this kid was out all night. He's got to put his dogs up. He didn't do it. I'm looking for him. And I just stopped him and I said, Sam, that's hard on all of us. But it sure helps to have a wife to help you. And you're doing a lot right now. See, he was blinded. He was blinded by his situation and circumstances. Many of us here today are blinded because we're right in the middle of something. And we can't see. And we have to trust that Jesus is near. Blind Bartimaeus, just tell me. Just tell me when you see him. Because when you see him, I'm going to call out to him. Have mercy on me, son of David. Have mercy on me, son of David. See, it was a call out to Jesus, to his Savior, a call. See, the call came from his heart. The call came with faith. I can't see you, but I know that you're here. And if I can just get close to you, I'm going to see. What do you want, Bartimaeus? What do you want, Philip? What do you want, LeDavid? What do you want, Blake? Yes. See, if we positioned ourselves to have that question asked to us with a faith, calling out, have mercy on me, having Jesus Christ speak, what do you want? If Jesus would ask you what you wanted, would you even know? Well, that's a question, isn't it? Boy, I'd be nervous about that. But Bartimaeus knew. Give me my sight. Amen. That happened in the presence of the King. The presence of the King is here today and he's walking right here. This is a habitation, a tabernacle that always, always he will be first. You're never going to have a pastor stand up here and be first. You're never going to have a people be first. You're never going to see situations and organizations and things take over. It's always going to be he is first. And if today he wants to move, we are going to allow him move. Now, we would be foolish if we didn't do that. Now, we would be foolish if we try to put him in our time zone. He's God. He's walking through. He's right here. What do you want? I think some of us need to come up with that. What do I want if Jesus asks me? Yes. Yes, I want my family saved. Are you praying for your family? Are you believing? I'm not going to miss him. He's coming to town. Did you come to church this morning thinking, he's coming to church today? I'm not going to miss him. When he gets there, have mercy on me, son of David. Come on. See, we are his people. And his people restoring this tabernacle like I'm talking about that's going to happen here. It's going to be different forms of worship that's going to happen. I love to see, and I haven't seen it here, but we'll see it one day. I love to see when worship's happening, and this person's over here painting. I'm like, man, I can't paint anything. And look at this guy, you know? Anybody seen that? Like a form of just worship and just, boy, I'm like, man, I don't know what that is, but it's going to be something, you know? And no, we're not going to sell what he does after church. A form of worship. But I love the praise dancers. Come on, a form of worship. Come on. Do you know that you have a form of worship on the inside of you? I have a song. And sometimes if I don't know the songs, I just close my eyes and I start singing my song. My song's from heaven. And he meets me right there. The Lord is going to move powerfully because a tabernacle of David, of passionate hearts, wanting the Lord, wanting his presence more than anything. God, I want your presence more than anything. God, I want your presence more than anything else. And a group of people is gathering here that's going to have the same desire. And guess what? Glory is going to fall. I got a few amens with that. Can you believe that with me? See, as I read the word that this church is standing on, that an open door. It's his door. He opens it and he closes it. But what's going to happen is that people are going to be filled to the brim. I love that word. Filled to the brim. I don't even know what it means, but it's filled. It's like going to that buffet. Hart's Chicken. Come on, I see it. I've seen some of you at Hart's Chicken. It's like a little spot there in the town, you know, that you know, man, all those good vegetables, praise the Lord. With all that butter all over them, you know. Let me just tell you, if you think the vegetables at Hart's Chicken are good for you, be careful, because my wife can't even eat them because it's got too much butter on them, you know. And they ask if you could take the butter off. They look at you like, why? Filled to the brim. I believe that today you should be filled to the brim. If you're not filled to the brim, then you didn't reach out and receive him. You're blind today. You're going to need someone. You're going to need a worship leader. You're going to need someone that's going to be able to start saying, hey guys, he's close. He's close. Son of David, have mercy on me. Hey, let me just tell you, if he's close, fall down. Come on. We're not just talking about Jesus just being a man. We're talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that he holds us in his hands. That one day the cloud's going to split wide open, the eastern sky, and a sound's going to be heard. My daughter says, how are we going to hear that sound? Honey, we're going to hear that sound. I don't know for sure how, but it's going to start and it's going to not stop until every person hears it. And the word says that every knee will bow. Everyone. People of other religions are going to bow. People of other thoughts, people of other cultures are going to bow. Because why? Because the King of Kings is coming. You know, the Lord has said, fill my house. Fill my house. We're going to fill this house of intimate worship. We're going to fill this house of passionate preaching. We're going to fill this house with his presence. And we're going to see God, and we're going to see him move. I'm not responsible to fill up these chairs. You're responsible for that. You thought I was going to just, I know. I wasn't going to say no one's responsible. I wasn't going to say God is. See, God has already done what he's going to do. Let me just say, I go out every week and I invite people. I'm part of this. I praise the Lord for LaDavid today coming for Tuan. And these guys will tell you, guess what? There's hundreds. Say hundreds. Hundreds of guys and women coming out of being incarcerated that are on fire for God. Rudy and Brenda see it every weekend. Going into the prisons, they see it. They've been preaching for years now in the prisons, and things are happening in the prisons. Are we ready to receive the prisoner that's been set free? See, if we're not ready, then God's not going to bring them. We have to receive people with open arms. Why would we not be ready? Why would we not receive them? We've all been prisoners. He's here today. Just close your eyes right where you are. He's close. He's walking in the door. Can you feel him? It's not a dead faith. He's alive. He's with us. He's here. He's here to restore back the tabernacle of David. He's here to restore the passionate heart of worship. It's going to happen in many, many men. Many men are going to rise in this hour where we see many, many men that are not even in their homes, that have not been able to raise their kids. Many, many men that have fallen. He's rising them up again. Yes, maybe he's having to bring them out of prison, but he's bringing them out. And they're going to be prepared and ready to start what he's already done. And we're going to see God move and move with great power in this hour. What we seek, what we desire, is his presence.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray you were encouraged and would love to hear from you. For more information on Church of Living Waters, check out col.info.